Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Four Persons Network. Today, host Richard Pettis brings you the Divine Mercy Chaplet, the Saint of the Day, and our daily update. We will be right back after a few messages.
Looking for a Catholic counselor? Dr. Peter Klaponis, Deb Rojas, and the team at Integrity Counseling Services provide faithful Catholic counseling in Pennsylvania and beyond. We offer telehealth and in-person counseling for porn addiction, betrayal trauma, anxiety, depression, marriage counseling, and much more. You can find us at integritycounselingpa.com or 610-601-9781. That's integritycounselingpa.com or 610-601-9781.
Looking for a Catholic counselor or coach? Dr. Fred Boley provides faithful Catholic counseling and coaching for men in Missouri and beyond. He conveniently offers telehealth services for anxiety, depression, marriage counseling, or just getting stuff done. You can find him at stbarn.org or 872-269-1280. Once again, the number is 872-269-1280.
She is a Catholic recording artist, multi-award-winning songwriter. She sings contemporary and folk rock music. She has been in the music industry for over 5 years. Her music is her ministry. She aims to help people that suffer from all kinds of pain in life and try to bring them to the Lord through her music. She has 3 albums out and her music is being played on radio stations all over the world. Her website is lisamarienicole.com and she is on social media. Her music page is facebook.com Lisa Songs of Worship. YouTube at Lisa M. Nicole. Instagram Lisa_Marie_Nicole_official. Her songs can be purchased on her website, iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, and everywhere else. Her merchandise store has everything for her ministry and can be accessed through her website. Her new CDs will be available very soon and can be purchased through her website. She counts herself blessed that God has chosen her to help spread his message. She is Lisa Marie Nicole. Get her music today.
The Four Persons Network asks our Catholic friends to check out and join the fast-growing Catholic website, message board, and community at Catholicism Rock. The quality and diversity of contributors is breathtaking and the content spans everything from education to news and commentary and spiritual insight. Partners of the Four Persons and our friends. Please check them out at CatholicismRocks.com.
We at the Four Persons invite you to check out the Rock Company located in Bethlehem. Our friends Tony and Paulette Rock have an incredible selection of hand-crafted masterpieces and religious items. From nativity sets and Last Supper carvings to rosaries and crucifixes. They have items for every budget from modest cost all the way up to priceless treasures. They ship anywhere in the world. Please visit them at therockcompanyshop.com and tell them you heard about them on the Four Persons. The Four Persons, Inc. is a federally registered and licensed 501c3 charity. Any use of any of our content without our permission is prohibited by law. Our purpose is evangelization, education, and social action. Please go to our website at thefourpersons.com or our blog site at thefourpersons.net to make your tax-deductible donation by credit or debit card. You can also send a check to The Four Persons, Inc., P.O. Box 11214, Manassas, Virginia, 20113. To contact us, send us an email at email@thefourpersons.com. Welcome to the Four Persons Network. Join us at this hour of mercy for the Chaplet of Divine Mercy for the intentions of the holy souls in purgatory and to rid the world of the scourge of abortion. The intro is by Donna Corey Gibson, copied from the YouTube channel Super School.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blesses the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity, of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Amen. Friends, I want to introduce my good friend, Marty Matulia. Marty has been praying the Chaplet of Divine Mercy with us today. Marty is from the Guadalupe Radio Network. He is the general manager of the five Alabama stations, including the one that I listen to here, WQOH, and WQOH, which is 88.7 on the FM dial, stands for Queen of Heaven. And I believe this was the first radio station that Guadalupe Radio Network bought in Alabama. Is that correct, Marty?
Well, good afternoon, Richard. Actually, yeah, that is correct. WQOH actually used to be in Irondale. It was just down the hill from EWTN. And then when we acquired that station, we renamed that particular station. That was 1480 AM. We renamed that station WMMA, standing to honor Mother Mary Angelica. And then we moved the call letters, WQOH, to that station where you are, in right up high on Chandler Mountain between Springville and Steele, Alabama. And that's the 88.7 station. That's your home station.
Which I can hear all the way to Rome, Georgia, by the way.
That's awesome. I'm going to have to get over there. So I didn't realize that until you told me a couple months ago. So that's exciting.
Yeah, it's amazing that with the new equipment in there, we can hear it that far away.
It is. It is. That is really exciting. Actually, your station, Richard, is probably – it is the station I have the most reach as far as miles. And I don't know what the wattage is, but it's definitely my biggest antenna that I have. And because it's up there on a mountain, it has quite a reach.
It does. So let's talk about our saint of the day. And our saint of the day, and I'm going to read this from morningoffering.com, which is a great Catholic website. And our saint of the day today is Saint Dismas. And he is a first century saint. It's the name that church tradition has given to the good thief or the penitent thief, one of the two criminals who were crucified alongside Jesus Christ on Good Friday. All we really know about Saint Dismas is what is mentioned of him in the Gospels. Quote, "Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, 'Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us.' The other, Saint Dismas, however, rebuking him, said in reply, 'Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal.' Then Saint Dismas, as an expression of his faith in Christ as the Messiah, said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' Jesus replied to Saint Dismas, 'Amen, I say to you, you will be with me in paradise.'" And that comes from Luke chapter 23, verses 39 to 42. And the feast day of St. Dismas is, of course, today, which is in most years also the Feast of the Annunciation. This year it's been moved to April 8th so that it does not correspond with Holy Week or in the octave of Easter, which is the 8 days immediately following Easter. And Marty, you were involved in a program named for St. Dismas, weren't you?
Well, it was a ministry in Houston. It was a Catholic ministry that reached out to the homeless, men coming out of the prison system, men and women coming out of the prison system, and men and women that were living with a mental issues, mental illness. And I used to take our sophomores down to Magnificat houses. They also ran a soup kitchen. It was a community of houses, and one of the houses was called Dismas House. And because of this idea of the good thief, they, this was one of their patrons, because many of these men and women were actually coming out of the prison system and to, begin their lives anew again. And they lived in community, and they, they had jobs through the community. Like, some worked at the soup kitchen, some worked at the thrift store, some did maintenance, some did, lawn care, that sort of thing. And these men and women would try to get their lives back together. And so it's really, it was a beautiful ministry. I was a part of that for, probably about 15 or 16 years when I lived in Houston and was involved with the ministry at St. Thomas High School. And so Dismas House was one of the houses that they had in East Houston.
Okay. Our co-host who hosts Thursday nights Taking It to the Streets is Terry Delp. And he has a ministry that he just formed called Brother Dismas Ministries. And that ministry works with people who are coming out of prison. And then he's also very involved with a halfway house in Houston called Colby House, named for St. Maximilian Colby. You're familiar with that one as well?
I am. And also in Houston, they had what they call Colby Ministries, which are men who go into the prison systems to minister to the men and actually do ACTS retreats in the prisons through the Colby Ministry. A lot of the deacons in the Archdiocese of Galveston and Houston are involved with Colby Ministries. So it's a beautiful ministry. It's wonderful to talk about all this. You're bringing back great memories, Richard.
Well, that's a good thing. Amazing how we picked today, and it happens to be the feast of St. Dismas.
It is. There's no, as St. John Paul II used to say, there are no coincidences. Yes, that's the way the Holy Spirit works.
Exactly. So why don't you tell us about how you got into Catholic radio?
Well, it was kind of an accident, really. The word of the Holy Spirit. I had a colleague at St. Thomas High School. He was a theology teacher, as I was. And he actually went on to receive his STD in sacred theology at the Angelicum in Rome. And then he got a job at the seminary. He's still there at St. Mary's Seminary in the Archdiocese of Galveston in Houston, the seminary for Houston and several other dioceses. Well, Steve was asked to do, this was long before Guadalupe Radio was on the air in Houston. He was asked to do a radio show, and I think it was called, I can't remember the name of it, but it was kind of like a local radio show that could just be heard in Houston. And he invited me to be one of the guests. We actually used to carpool together, so we had a lot of experience of talking to each other on that long commute from Kingwood down to Houston, about 45 minutes every day. And so I guess I was a natural guest for him to pick. And so we ended up talking about, I think one of the episodes was about St. Augustine, another episode was about high school campus ministry. So from there, I guess maybe another year or two later, Guadalupe Radio came to Houston and sort of took the place of that small radio network that Steve was involved with. And Guadalupe Radio in Houston is on 1430 AM KSHJ, Sacred Heart of Jesus. Well, a few times they invited me to be a guest on their show. They had a local once-a-week show. I guess it was on a Monday, I think. And one of those times I talked about Magnificat houses. So that was like my first episode with talking about Magnificat. Well, then when I left St. Thomas High School, I was involved with some different ministries there in Houston, a couple different Catholic nonprofit ministries. One was called the St. John Paul II Foundation, and the other one was called Fullness of Truth Catholic Evangelization. And when I was doing development work with both of those, and some evangelization work with both of those ministries, I also was interviewed by CRN, not only in Houston, but also up in their station in Dallas and their station in San Antonio. So I got to know several of the general managers and some of the leadership with GRN because of being interviewed on those different shows. And I guess kind of the next thing that happened to me is I had the opportunity to be on Father Mitch's live show, EWTN Live. Came over here to Birmingham in spring of 2021, and it was a wonderful opportunity to be on his show talking about, again, one of those ministries, Fullness of Truth, Catholic Evangelization. And then when I needed a new job. There was some issues there, and I needed to begin to explore. Well, I saw that GRN was hiring a general manager here in Birmingham, and at first my wife and I weren't really ready to locate from Houston to Birmingham, but we decided to go ahead and take the leap, and here we are. We've been here a little over 2 years now, and we love it here. That's the long story of how I got involved with Catholic radio.
Okay. So if you were a young journalism major just coming out of college, how would you go about getting into Catholic radio?
Well, like a lot of things, it's kind of who you know, not always what you know. Certainly having that experience is great because you understand cadence, you understand the production side and that sort of thing. So you have a skill set that I probably didn't possess when I first got into radio. But I think, the key is, getting to know a lot of these folks, getting to know, Guadalupe Radio Network, we are actually the largest EWTN affiliate in the country now. We have 45 stations across the country. Most of them are in Texas, but we have our stations here in Alabama. We also have some stations in Northwest Florida, and we have a nice big station up in Washington, D.C. that covers Northern Virginia and Maryland. But there are other networks, Ave Maria up in Michigan. They're based in Ann Arbor, Michigan. They're probably, they're one of the biggest as well. There's a big one in St. Louis. They're all over the country. There's EWTN affiliates literally all over the country. And then there are other Catholic networks as well, like the Catholic Channel, I think it's based in New York. That's who you sometimes hear on Sirius satellite radio. And but generally speaking, if it's a Catholic radio station in the United States, it's usually affiliated with EWTN or it's affiliated with the Catholic Channel.
Okay. I know EWTN also has its own station on Sirius XM.
They do. That's right. EWTN Radio does. We don't have a station on. Of course, we air most of the EWTN radio shows. We have a few of our own shows that we produce. We have a morning drive time show called Morning Joy. We have a show in the afternoon on at 4 o'clock Central Time called A Life Lived Joyfully, and then we have a show on Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock Central Time called Spirit World. That's actually become one of the more popular EWTN radio shows. And then we have a show at 9 o'clock. It's called We Sing Our Faith with I can't think of the gal's name right now, but she has a 9 o'clock Saturday morning show. And so we have a few of our own shows that we produce. Most of the local stations, like our local markets like Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, West Texas, they all have their own local show. I'm hoping that I will have the opportunity to have a local show as well once a week for an hour. And maybe then I can interview you, Richard.
Well, that would be cool. That would be very cool. So what is the biggest advantage of being involved with Catholic radio here in Alabama?
Well, I mean, first of all, the reach, you know, of course, PRN with all those stations, you know, we have quite a reach. Now, as far as being here in Alabama, yeah, I am literally one exit away from the headquarters of EWTN. So it's such a beautiful thing for me personally and spiritually to have that access to EWTN here in Irondale. I get to go to Mass there, you know, just about every day at noon. I get to meet a lot of these, you know, radio hosts like Dr. Anders and Johnette Williams and Father Mitch. You go on down the line. You know, I've met these people. I talk to them, you know, like I'm talking to you. So that's kind of neat. It's sort of a special privilege that I have. And, you know, I get to sort of the spiritual benefit as well, as you know, of EWTN and its, you know, influence, the friars. I go to confession to the friars up there at EWTN, the ones that you see on TV, you know, celebrating Mass. We have the Sister Servants of the Eternal Word. They're literally right up the road from me. They're sort of an offshoot of the Poor Clares that Mother Angelica, you know, was the mother of. She founded this community, actually. So, you know, there's such a spiritual benefit as well as a practical benefit of being so close to EWTN. Plus,
yeah,
a wonderful place to be Catholic. I mean, we are a minority, certainly, but the Catholics that I've met, including you, you know, are so vibrant in their faith. They're so proud of their faith. I think because Catholics are such a minority in Birmingham, this part of Alabama, that, you know, we all have to defend our faith. So we have to know a little bit about apologetics. We are asked questions all the time by our Protestant evangelical neighbors about, you know, what do you Catholics believe about this, that, or the other thing. And so it's a great place to learn about your faith because it's very necessary to know your faith here.
Well, I think it's amazing that the world's largest Catholic media source is headquartered right here in 2-3% Catholic Alabama.
I know, isn't that something? You know, Mother Angelica, you talk about the Holy Spirit. You know, when she was sent down here, when she felt called to be here, she actually came initially because of the civil rights situation. You know, she saw all the things happening in Birmingham, and she just felt called to come, you know, to come from Canton, Ohio, down here to Birmingham, and so she came. And let me tell you, the sisters, boy, they had a tough time of it. You know, they were subject to a lot of those same prejudices and bigotry that blacks were subjected to. They had, you know, the Klan, you know, shot at their door a couple times, and they did not want these sisters to be here. And, you know, maybe they had a precursor of things to come. It became, you know, Mother sure did create quite a Catholic powerhouse right here in Birmingham, of all places.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, talking about the Klan and Catholics, and by the way, to the extent the Klan still exists, and I hear it's back rising out of the ashes yet again, they do hate Catholics.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Catholics, of course, blacks, and Jews as well. You know, those are sort of the three historical targets of the Klan. And a lot of people don't realize that, but that's actually one of the reasons why the Knights of Columbus got established, not only because of, you know, to take care of widows and orphans, but also as a response to the Klan.
Well, and our founder and director, John Benko, is also a knight. Of course, I am, and I make no bones about letting people know that. I'm proud to be a knight, and you as well are a knight.
That's right. Very proud. I've been a knight since I was 23 years old, 24, and now I'm 54. So 30 years I've been a knight.
And
I haven't always been a good knight. Just more recently I've become a better knight. But, you know, during those years when I was raising kids, you know, it was kind of hard to be involved. But I'm much more involved now.
And come August 7th, I will be celebrating 27 years of knighthood.
Awesome. Awesome.
And I'm pleased as punch to be a knight. I've been here in Gadsden for almost 2 years, and I'm already Grand Knight of the Council here in Gadsden.
You have a great council up there, too. You guys are so active and so supportive. As a matter of fact, your council was instrumental in helping us with a project up there. We had to get a new internet up at the 88.7 signal, and your council was the first council that supported us financially as we began that capital campaign to get a new, to dig new cables and so forth. So that's why we have a better signal now, because of the support of you guys and several other nice councils in that discastery out there where you all are in sort of north central Alabama.
No, we're northeast Alabama.
Okay.
Central is Birmingham. We're about an hour northeast of Birmingham, so.
Right.
We're considered northeast. In fact, our airport here in Gadsden is northeast Alabama Regional.
Okay. Yeah. So it's Yeah, you guys are very supportive of us, and I sure appreciate that. And, you know, Knights Councils have been so instrumental to Catholic radio across the country. You know, several Knights Councils were the ones that started radio stations at different places. Actually, that's one thing I wanted to mention, too, Richard, that EWTN, all the time, they are hearing of affiliates that, are not doing that well, like their founders, maybe they founded the radio station 20 years ago, and the founders are, want to retire, and they didn't really have a succession plan in place. So what happens is EWTN catches wind of EWTN radio, catches wind of some of these radio stations, and then they let us know, Guadalupe Radio or Ave Maria, some of the bigger ones, and say, hey, can you guys take on this radio station. So that's kind of what's going on. Like, we just recently acquired 6 stations up in Amarillo, Texas, way up in the panhandle of Amarillo. And I think that's how that happened, is EWTN Radio, reached out to us and said, hey, would you guys be willing to, acquire these stations?
Well, didn't I hear that you guys picked up a station or a couple of stations up in either Missouri or Kansas? Kansas, I think.
Yeah, we do have some stations in Kansas, in Dodge City, Kansas. I think we have one English station and one Spanish station. We actually have one little station out in Clanton, New Mexico, as well. So, but we're mainly based in Texas. We're in all the big cities in Texas, of course. And so our market here, our listening area here, is a lot less people, but no less vibrant. The Catholics that are listening here, that's for sure.
Well, now we were talking about the Klan and its hatred of Catholics. Would you like to tell our friends out here the story of Father Coyle?
Yeah, that's a wonderful story. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to share that. So back in the 1920s, when, again, Catholics in Birmingham were, there was a lot of bigotry towards Catholics, just like there was bigotry towards blacks and Jews. And there was a Catholic church still there. It's now a cathedral. the Cathedral of St. Paul. At that time, it was just it was one of the biggest Catholic churches in Birmingham. It was called St. Paul's Catholic Church. Well, Father Coyle was a young Irish pastor of St. Paul's there in downtown Birmingham. And as the story goes, he was very, he wasn't one to hide, and he was, boldly Catholic, teaching catechism and making announcements at his parish. And so he kind of got on the target of the local clan and some of the, some of the bigots in the town. And, well, then what happened was there was a, he had a parishioner at his parish that was a Puerto Rican man who was a very dark-complected Puerto Rican man. I think he was, mistaken for being an African. And he fell in love with a young lady who happened to be the daughter of a local Methodist minister. So they wanted to get married, and they got married in secret. Father Coyle witnessed the the marriage, and they got married at St. Paul's. Well, probably not even a day later, Father Coyle was praying his evening, with his breviary and his evening prayers, sitting on the front steps of the rectory, which is still there. It's actually being renovated right now. It's right next to the cathedral.
I've seen it.
And at point-blank range, this Methodist minister shot Father Coyle in cold blood. Well, of course, the case, the man admitted to shooting Father Coyle, but he said he did so in, a state of rage and, temporary insanity. So the case went to the court, and the Klan was able to pack the jury, and the man was acquitted. This minister was acquitted. So, so interestingly enough, for years, the Father Coyle story was not really publicized, all that well, especially during the whole, I guess it kind of came back into the public consciousness during the civil rights struggle in the 60s. And now, Jim Pinto of Jim and Joy, Jim and Joy Show on EWTN, he has led the cause to have Father Coyle named the Blessed, which would be the first step towards sainthood. And so our diocese has really done a lot of work, a lot of research on Father Coyle's life, and they're putting together all the, all the details, all the paperwork to send to the Vatican so that we can get him on the road to being a blessing. It's really a neat story. It's a tragic story, but it's really a beautiful Catholic story.
Indeed it is. And we have a memorial mass for Father Coyle every year.
Every August. I think it's August 11th. I have some special prayer cards, and I like to distribute. And I usually, last 2 years, I've gone to this mass. And the first year I went to it, August 11th, 1921 is when he was martyred. He was born in 1873, became a priest in 1896 in Ireland, and then he immigrated to serve, mainly the Irish Catholics here in Birmingham.
Okay. And the Knights of Columbus do an honor guard for that mass every year as well.
They sure do. Yep. It's beautiful. Of course, there's an interesting, tie-in. The Knights of Columbus were, as you well know, founded in the late
1800s. 1882.
In large part because of bigotry. And so there was a connection with Father Coyle. And I would imagine that once our diocese gets all the paperwork and gets all the, info to the Vatican, that the Knights are going to rally behind this cause. And, of course, the Knights are trying to rally behind the cause of Father McGivney right now. So that sort of, sort of preoccupies, most of our attention. But this is also an incredible story, and I think the Knights will gather behind this. Maybe that's something you and I can get involved with, Richard.
That would be wonderful.
promoting the cause to all these different councils in our local area.
Well, and, you know, we've got another person that needs to find her way to canonization from Alabama, and that would be Mother Angelica.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, I won't tell you who told me this, but somebody somewhere pretty high up in the church said, we got to wait for some people to die first, you know, before we start that cause for her. Because as you well know, Mother Angelica didn't mince words, and she managed to, you know, irritate a few bishops here and there, justifiably so, though, probably. But,
well, you know, she had a very public feud with Roger Cardinal Mahoney of Los Angeles.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it will happen. I'm sure EWTN is gathering all the, you know, they're doing the behind-the-scenes work, getting all their paperwork in order, and it'll happen at some point. I'm convinced of that. And I would not be surprised at all to hear that there's already been some miracles attributed to Mother Angelica. I mean, I don't know of any, you know, public miracles, but I think once these causes get started, that sometimes that's when we find out about these things.
Actually, when we took a tour at Hanceville about a month and a half ago, they said that there was a reported miracle and it was a healing, and I can't remember for the life of me what the healing was. But I feel like they said that there had been one.
Yeah, I'll have to ask a few questions. I'll talk to Father Joseph about it. Father Joseph Mary Wolf is kind of the caretaker of the Mother Angelica, you know, files between him and Raymond Arroyo and Father Mitch. You know, they kind of know all the, you know, all the stories. And Father Joseph, I mean, his story itself is pretty awesome. You know, do you know his story?
I do not.
Well, he came to EWTN as a young engineer. He just felt called. He was grew up on a farm in Iowa. Went to, I'm not sure where he went for his undergrad, but he was an electrical engineer. And he, you know, started watching EWTN back in the early days, you know, like in the early 80s when it first got started, like 82, I think. And it was a pretty, broadcast, you know, when she first got started. It didn't have all the bells and whistles. It was pretty raw. And so Father Joseph just felt compelled to come to Birmingham to be her engineer. And while he was here, of course, he was single, and Mother kept working on him, kept praying for him. And he was one of the three original friars that were ordained for the, you know, the friars there in EWTN. Your Mother founded that order, that community. And Father Joseph and Father Mark Mary, who was still there, was one of the other ones. And there was a third guy, but I don't think he's still a priest. But those were the three original friars that started, you know, the Franciscans. They're called the MFVAs, I think. It's like the Franciscan, the V stands for Vigio or something. I can't remember what their official title is, but I know their initials after their name is MFVA. Like the Friars of, you know, their community is specifically for the needs of EWTN.
That's
so
awesome.
Like there's eight or nine of them that live right up here, you know, right next to EWTN at the Friary there, and then there's like four or five that live up in Hanceville at the Friary up there, and so I think there's like 13 or 14. There's one guy that's in formation right now. It's never been a real big community. I think at the most they had maybe 20 at one time. I think they have about 14 right now. And but they do beautiful work. I know I love every single one of them. I get the privilege of going to Mass with them and going to confession, and they're all wonderful. They're all different, but they're all wonderful men of God. for sure.
Yes, they are. Got to meet a couple of them up in Hansville a couple of weeks ago. Father Matthew, and then I think it's Brother Theodore, who is from Louisiana.
Okay, yeah, Brother, he's up there, and Father Matthew, he's a very good confessor. He's based down here. He's at the Friary down here.
But, yeah, he goes up there sometimes on weekends to help.
Yeah. Sure. Isn't that shrine unbelievable? I mean, it's just, for those of you that have never been to the Shrine of the Blessed Sacrament, please put that on your bucket list. It is
absolutely
a beautiful, beautiful place to, it's of course, it's modeled on Assisi. You know, the shrine itself looks like the shrine in Assisi. And, but as you know, Richard, it's hard to describe.
And the castle, San Miguel, is unbelievable.
Yeah, that's where the gift shop is.
And they've got some great statues out there. St. Joan of Arc, St. Michael the Archangel. They've got a chair out there that is a cell. It's the same chairs that they have in the cells where they come together for prayer. And you can actually sit in it and see how it feels.
I wasn't aware of that. That was the same. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's right outside the gift shop.
Okay. You know, did you get a chance when you were up there to go to the St. John Paul II Eucharistic Center?
We did, and that was amazing.
Yeah, isn't that awesome? Anybody that has any questions about the Real Presence, I highly recommend that you go to that museum. I mean, it's more than a museum. It's, you know, it's kind of hard to describe, but it's very it just kind of hits you on so many different levels about the history and the miracles attributed to the Real Presence, and it's just such a great catechetical walk through. The Catechism on the Eucharist.
And it's amazing. And, you know, all of the Eucharistic miracles where the host turns into actual human tissue is always cardiac muscle, cardiac tissue.
Yeah.
And the blood type is always the universal donor, AB negative.
That's so interesting. Yeah,
although
I
heard yesterday on Guadalupe Radio Network on my way home from church, I heard somebody say it was AB positive, and I darn near swallowed my teeth, and my teeth are real.
Hey, Richard, you reminded me of something. If you are looking for a book to really understand the Jewish roots of the Eucharist, I'm reading an incredible book right now from Dr. Brant Petrie called Jesus and the Jewish Roots of the Eucharist, Unlocking the Secrets of the Last Supper. This book, it's a few years old. I think it was first published in 2011, republished in 2016. But a lot of it has, St. Augustine Institute has put it back out this year for the Eucharistic Revival. So I have in my hands the National Eucharistic Revival Special Edition provided by the Augustine Institute. So you can actually get these free through the Augustine Institute. And I cannot recommend this book enough. I have learned so much that I wish every Catholic knew about the Jewish roots of the Eucharist.
Hang on, I'm writing that down. Can you text that to me later on?
Sure. Jesus and the Jewish Roots of the Eucharist. Dr. Brant Petrie, P-I-T-R-E, is the author. And like this last chapter I was reading about the what sometimes in some Bibles is called the showbread, but it's the bread of the presence that was actually in the tabernacle, in the temple. And this is, remember the account where Jesus is, the scribes and Pharisees are getting on his case about eating or on the Sabbath, eating the wheat from the in Matthew 12, verses 1 through 6. And Jesus said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence?" And this is going back to 1 Samuel 21, that whole story of David and his troops eating from the holy bread that was in the tabernacle of Moses. So, like, this kind of stuff, like, why do we never learn this? I mean, this is just unbelievable. It's like, so in the Jewish self-understanding, there was already this concept of holy bread and wine that, long before the Last Supper. And, of course, like a lot of things in the Catholic, Jesus took what was already in place and sacramentalized it, And why did we learn this stuff when we were younger? It's so incredible.
Yeah, I'm looking at the book, Jesus and the Jewish Roots of the Eucharist. They want $11 for it right now.
Oh, okay. Well, my parish, we were giving them out. So St. Peter the Apostle, I got a freebie. It's worth the $11. I'm telling you right now, Richard, it's worth those $11.
And the maximum purchase is one unit.
Okay. Well, when I'm done, I've got, let's see, I'm on page 138 right now. And it goes to, not counting the notes, goes to page 204. So my goal is to get through it by Thursday, by Last Supper. So I'll be ready for the Mass of the Lord's Supper.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, so I got to get cranking here. As soon as I get off the phone with you, I'm gonna do a deep dive.
How far do you have to go?
So I'm on page 138, and I got to get to 204. So just, 70 more pages.
Oh, that's easy peasy.
Nah, it's not too bad. But I've got my highlighter going, and, gotta read it closely. It's not like reading the New York Times or something like that. But it's not, anybody can read it, though. It's not like so super, theological. It's written for the common Catholic.
Okay. Well, I've got about 2 minutes left, and I have to do the daily update. On Thursday at 6:30 Eastern, Terry Delp will be back with Taking It to the Streets. And his show is going to be on the danger of nuances.
Huh. That's interesting.
That's going to be an interesting show.
Absolutely.
And I'll have to listen to it on delay, but I will, because I'll be at the Mass of the Lord's Supper, which is at 6 o'clock my time. And then on Friday morning at 7 Eastern, Ken Litchfield on Catholic Ken will be doing a show on Easter, the Resurrection, and the Shroud of Turin, which affirms that Jesus rose from the dead. And then Friday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, John Benko is going to be having his debate with Aletheia Ministries. And, of course, they're going to be talking about Sola Scriptura, and I'll have to listen to that on delay as well, because I will be at the Veneration of the Cross. And then on Saturday at 10 a.m., William's show on Catholicism Rocks is going to be live because he doesn't have a guest. And then on Saturday at noon on Burnt Toast and Coffee, William will have a guest, but I don't know who that guest is yet. And then on April 6th, Lisa Marie Nicole, the Catholic version of Striper, will have Faith O'Brien, who is the music director at St. John the Baptist Catholic Church, where Lisa is one of the cantors. And Faith is also a concert pianist. So that's going to be an interesting interview.
Awesome.
And then the only other update that I have is that I'll be back with you at 3:30 Eastern tomorrow.
Awesome. I'm going to be at the EWTN for the Mass of the Lord's Supper, Richard.
Oh, I'm going to be I'm going to be here at St. James. I am reading the first reading, and I am one of the 12 having a foot washed.
All right.
Well, Richard, second year in a row for that.
Okay.
Pardon me?
Thank you for this opportunity to talk with you.
Well, and thank you for joining me today, and thank you for praying with me. And, of course, my name is Richard Pettis, and I want everyone to have a blessed rest of your Monday and a blessed Tuesday until I see you right back here at 3:30 on the same bat channel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you for joining us, folks. Thank you.